Hello, folks. Welcome to Joe Anybody's first podcast ever. Today's date is March 28th, 2009. I intend to make a short 10-minute weekly audio podcast from here into the near future. And please excuse the ruggedness. I've never done this, don't know what I'm doing, but I think I can figure it out. Basically what I'm intending to do is, I'm looking at some papers here in front of me, and I'd like to read a little comment, read a little article and then comment on it, I should say. Let's see here. Found what I'm going to be reading. It's from the March 2009, the warcrimestimes.org. That's warcrimestimes.org. And of course, this is from Volume 1, Number 2, March 2009. It's on page 5, and it's titled Corporate Media and War Crimes. I'm going to try to read this real quick. And we're going to stop here and maybe comment along the way. Like I say, bear with me. It's first time here. This might be kind of rugged. The music you hear in the background is coming from Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM. I'm streaming it off of berkeleyliberationradio.org. Hope you enjoy that. I just found this radio station the other day, and it's pretty cool. Here we go. Corporate Media and War Crimes by Linda La Tendry. There's a bumper sticker that's been around for a long time that reads, "When the people lead, the leaders will follow." I saw evidence of that possibility at the Veterans for Peace action on Saturday, January 17th, at the Newseum. The Showpiece Museum of the Corporate Media in Washington, D.C. More than 30 activists gathered at the museum to launch the inaugural edition of the War Crimes Times, ironically, that's where I'm reading this from, a newspaper that does what our liberal media has failed to do, and that is to give the American public the information it needs to hold Bush administration accountable for their actions and policies in the Iraq War. Two activists brought a 38-foot banner, hidden in a suitcase, into the building, and then they and three others unfurled it from one of the balconies, and it hung there for about 5 full minutes until a museum official requested that they take it down. The official who made the request did so by saying that he agreed with what they were doing, but they just could not do it in the museum. Simultaneously, other activists, many of whom were dressed as Newsies and wearing Arrest Bush sweatshirts, both inside and outside, began shouting, "Extra, extra, read all about it, corporate media complicit in war crimes cover-up," while handing out the War Crimes Times to passerbyers and people stopped in the traffic. Now, I believe this is being done in Washington, D.C. Anyway, back to the article. I was out, written by Linda here. I was outside as one of the Newsies, and my favorite line to call out was, "Read all the news that's not in the building," while pointing to the museum. While there was a few detractors, most people were supportive, especially on the inside, where people applauded and told the activists, "Keep up the good work." Tarek Koff, a VFP, Veterans for Peace member, and coordinator of the event at the museum, said, "Our goal is to have George Bush and his administration prosecuted for war crimes, no matter how long this takes. There is no statute of limitation on war crimes." Tarek, a former Army paratrooper, added, "We have come to the museum, the showpiece home of the corporate media, to distribute the War Crimes Times, a newspaper created to fill the void left by the corporate media's failure to report the Bush administration's numerous and severe war crimes. We are also here to demand that Obama administration vigorously and unconditionally prosecute Bush and all members of the administration responsible for these crimes." The War Crimes Times is an impressive paper. It features articles by Michael Ratner, a president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, Colleen Rowley, a former FBI agent and one of the Times Magazine's Person of the Year, for exposing FBI mishandling of September 11th information. Anne Wright, a retired U.S. Army colonel and career Foreign Service officer. She resigned in protest in the Bush administration's policy and actions. As well as Lawrence Velvel, Dean of the Massachusetts School of Law. Jesslyn Raddick, former U.S. Department of Justice Ethics Advisor. Mike Ferner, current president of Veterans for Peace and author of Inside the Red Zone. Elaine Brower, mother of a young Marine deployed in Iraq. Marjorie Cohn, president of the National Lawyers Guild, and others. An impressive lineup, if you ask me. D.C.'s finest showed up in minutes after the action began, called in by the newseum staff. What we've said there is that the police have now showed up. God knows you don't want people non-violently expressing their First Amendment rights in full public view without the constably nearby. Heaven knows what would come of that. A police cruiser and a van waited in the medium of the Constitution Avenue until the action was over. The building front facade features a four-story copy of the First Amendment, and I thought it would be a real interesting photograph to have people being arrested in front of the backdrop for doing exactly what the word says that they have the right to do. And it was just having the police there was image irony enough. Lori Arbiter, one of the most committed activists I know, and some of the others went to Union Station after the action, still wearing their Arrest Bush sweatshirts and carrying their signs and newspapers. They couldn't get out for 7 hours. 7 hours. People wanted their photographs taken with them and their signs that read, "Yes, we can." They also wanted copies of the newspaper, the War Crimes Times. Talk about support. Of course, the police followed them around the entire time, keeping democracy safe. It's interesting to note that the museum exhibit on 9/11 never... Now, this is interesting, folks. The museum exhibit on 9/11 never mentions that none of the perpetrators were Iraqi. In fact, it never mentions who, what, where, when, or why of the event. I found that rather odd, to say the least. I always thought those questions were the matter and the mainstays of journalism. The cost of the museum fee for viewing this mis or disinformation, depending on your perspective, is $22. Now, just to reiterate one really wild thing here, regarding 9/11, it never mentions who, what, where, when, and why. That is just amazing. Or does that throw up a red flag? To me, it throws up a red flag of something that I already know about, the truth about 9/11. Almost every single problem we have on hand today, I trace back to the 9/11 tragedy and the laws and our attitude that the United States has adopted because of the 9/11. A lot of the problems can be traced right to that. And the truth and what really happened on 9/11, I think, is where, if you want to connect the dots and get back to really how we got into this mess, we need to really go back and look at that. The article was about the media, and it was a good story about the newseum there. That's interesting. That's the only bit I've read about the newseum. It's kind of cool to see that a protest about First Amendment rights, truth in media, was happening right outside its doors. How ironic. That's pretty catchy. Some photos I've seen of that, or there was maybe some video online I've seen. It was pretty cool. The group out there was pretty vocal, and they weren't passive. They were actively out there handing out the newspapers, extra, read all about it, bullhorning, and really getting the word out in front of a museum made for the corporate media. Oh, it's crazy. That, as I say for the third time, they don't even discuss what happened about the 9/11. How could something that so impacted our lives, we're waging war around the world based on these lies of 9/11? Very curious. One thing, just food for thought on the whole 9/11. 110 stories, I believe it was, fell within 11 seconds. And a little demonstration that I thought was sort of goofy on YouTube, but then later it really resonated, was clap your hands within 11 seconds and see if you can clap 110 times within 11 seconds. That would be the rate of those buildings collapsing. I just don't think that's possible. I can't even clap 110 times. And that's how quickly that building disintegrated into dust. That building was designed to take the impact of high winds, airplanes, and I've seen the architects speak about it. But I digress, because I didn't want to go into 9/11 so much. I was talking about the corporate media, but as I mentioned, everything seems to be tied together. And it's hard to just sort of isolate one little segment without opening up and tracing back, follow the money, follow who knew and where they were, and follow why it wasn't reported or how come it was reported in the way that it was. A lot of good questions. I hope to bring up some more stories, facts, interesting tidbits that I stumble upon. At the least, this will be done once a week, probably at the beginning of the week. Over the course of the weekend, I'll make the track. But I've been excited to kind of try to throw in some of my just discussion and my points of view, besides videotaping, which I mainly do. So we may get more than one a week, or the one a week we get may have a few chapters to it. So for right now, I'm shooting for 10 minutes. And I have no idea how long this is. But thanks for joining me. Joe Anybody. My website, www.joe-anybody.com. Take care. No justice, no peace.